him, joined once again this morning by 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning, Kyle, and happy holidays to everybody in Grays Harbor area.
Absolutely. It is the holiday seasons. We're getting to the end of December. It seems like it has come a lot quicker than expected. But with that, that just means that the legislative session back in person in full effect is going to be coming quicker than we expect as well.
You know, this is a great time for me to say I got my Christmas present early. And that is that we will be, after nearly 3 years, Kyle, we will be in person, operating open with all doors pretty much unlocked in Olympia this year. So it's an in-person session I'm grateful to announce.
We're looking at, we've been following the pre-filed bills. Of course, pre-filed bills a lot of times are some of the statement bills and the ones that you could introduce them within the session, but it just kind of get them primed and get people ready. Most of the ones that have been pre-filed, at least up until just now when we're talking, have been fairly mundane. Nothing that's been too out there, which it is good. I mean, this long session, we're going to have a lot of things on the table, but a lot of bills have been filed already, including a couple with your name as the main sponsor.
Well, you know, I get excited, Kyle, and rather than wait, I can wait. I think it's important that I kind of meter my bills out. This year, I'm sure I'll have no less than 10 bills out there, but yeah, I have two bills filed. One, of course, is Senate Bill 5023, and that's a tow truck safety bill, a roadside safety bill, and then Senate Bill 5040, which is really some form of a voter ID card.
So let's jump on the roadside safety measures and allowing tow truck drivers to get some additional lights and assisting them to, with the hope of decreasing injuries and just making drivers on the road aware, hey, there's somebody working. Let's give them the space. This has been brought up before and for whatever reason hasn't been able to kind of get traction. Is there any changes in the newly updated bill, or is this just the same bill, just kind of sound in nature, and just hoping that it has time to get more attention this year?
Well, this is, as you would mention, somewhat a second bill. The previous bill that I put out, I actually put out two separate bills. One had an educational component that tied into the already existing slow down and move over law. And the other bill dealt with the use of rear facing blue lights, not front facing, on tow truck or recovery type vehicles that would work along our highways. And both of those bills passed the Senate, ended up somewhat disappearing in the House. However, a lot of the components that I wanted in those two bills showed up in a Senate bill called 5689, which is a transportation budget. So things like education and the Department of Licensing to provide written materials to applicants about slow down and move over laws, or even those reader boards, those signboards you see along the highway with messages for motorists. Well, that was included in the transportation budget. So a lot of my components of the first two bills already made it through, but they made it through in a transportation package. So score victory for that. Now, this year, I'm down to just one bill, which kind of cleans up the rest of what didn't get passed. And that is, as I mentioned, the use of blue lights facing from the back of a truck, a recovery vehicle. So I'm emphasizing this, Kyle, because nobody's going to be able to be driving down the road and look in their rearview mirror and see blue and red lights like a police vehicle in their rearview mirror. No, you would have to approach them from behind, and there's very limited times that those blue lights can be used, very restricted. You can't use them unless you're actually in the emergency zone, and only when you leave the site to, say, re-enter a highway. You know, get the vehicle up to speed now that you have the wrecked vehicle on the back of your tow truck, now you can use them while you get into traffic again to keep the flow going. So it's very simple. I'm very proud of this bill. I already have, of course, Kyle, which is what we all need. I have a primary co-sponsor, Senator Lubick. And this is the bipartisan stuff we need to take across the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, at least from the onset, looking at a lot of these pre-filed bills, and we go through, and whenever any of these bills come through, we try to read them and make sure to get the ideas behind them. And it seems as if there is a lot of bipartisan work already being done within this pre-filed season, which, to me at least, and maybe I'm mistaken, but it seems as if there is more bipartisan cooperation this year than is typical in the pre-filed season. And I hope that is something that transfers over when the legislative session starts.
Wow. Amen and well said, Kyle. That too is my goal. This tow truck, or this roadside safety bill, of course, originated in Cowlitz County area as a result of a couple of men, Raymond Mitchell and Arthur Anderson, that paid with their lives. While they were assisting motorists on the side of the road, they were involved in a fatality. The fatality, of course, was themselves. So fast forward just 2 years from those tragedies, the bipartisan part comes in readily, because we also know that the past year or more, traffic fatalities are at an all-time high, Kyle, regardless of whether you're a tow truck operator, construction workers, just traffic accidents that results in fatalities are at an all-time high, record numbers right now. And so to gather bipartisan support that helps tackle a real important problem, like just going commuting or driving your car safer, did attract bipartisan support. So I'm proud of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to support me and the 19th district in getting this legislation across the finish line.
We're looking at bills that are a little more partisan, but it's still early. But you have signed on to a number of bills as well this year. This has been a discussion we've had since you came into office. I mean, increasing safety within the state, increasing assisting law enforcement and those types of measures. There are a number of bills that would adjust either crimes within the state or assist law enforcement, and you have put your name onto a number of these pre-filed bills. One of them, just looking at right now, is it seems like a no-brainer, and I'm a little surprised there isn't more bipartisan support straight out of the gate, of including these synthetic opioids into the endangerment with a controlled substance statute. We've seen, of course, fentanyl, the rainbow fentanyl, and these other synthetic opioids be such a burden and have such an impact onto the local community. It would make sense to include them into those controlled substance statutes as well.
You know, Kyle, there you go again. You just stole my common sense thunder. It's needed. It's time that both sides of the aisle take a look at, well, how high are we as people of Washington State? How available are Schedule I drugs? We now know the impacts, Kyle. We know that more people die under the age of 65 from drug overdose deaths in Washington State than they do COVID plus a number of, say, illnesses, and that's alarming. We know now, just the past few years, the chart has exploded in deaths from such powerful opioids. Fentanyl has its friend like carfentanil and other things that are much more potent than their previous versions, and it's sad to say, but we're going to expect more tragedies unless we begin to start to retool our drug outlook, the way we view, well, just how responsible can we be with, say, Schedule I drugs? And then, of course, law enforcement and treatment are the other two components of something we know is escalating at a dangerous rate. So it was easy to, I'm glad to see both sides of the aisle again that have seen this. Maybe it took some current data to open up other people's eyes, Kyle, but I'm not going to argue that. I'm going to be grateful that we're at this point to finally address it.
I was going to say, there's a couple bills that you've signed off on that there were rules that put in that got put in place that once they put in place, whether or not they were put in place for the right with the right intentions, after they've been coming in, we've seen a growth in these issues. And there's two bills, at least, that you have signed off on that would take us back and reel things in and bring it back to the way it was. One with vehicle pursuit and the other with possession of controlled substances.
Yes, you know, Kyle, those two can go hand in hand. And ultimately, we did have good intentions on having the police not pursue if it's risky or certain criteria. The problem is it seems the bad aspect of our society, those that want to break laws and, well, let's say run away. I believe they understood they weren't going to be chased in lay terms. Mm-hmm. And that has resulted, again, we have more crimes, more deaths. And I think, well, the bad guy knows this, and we don't want that to know. We need to know that there are consequences. Now, we need to safely do this, Kyle. But I'm proud, again, to co-sponsor these bills and to help move them forward. And it's a great chance, as always, to work with the majority party. I am in the minority, but these are everybody's ideas. And I think that it doesn't matter per party. These bills I've signed on to, they need to pass.
We're seeing, I'm sure that law enforcement, of course, is going to be a main topic this coming legislative session. At least the governor and others are pushing for bills that I'm sure that will be fairly contentious when they do come to the floor in some capacity or the other. A little more contentious when we're talking the assault weapons and the weapons restrictions that some are pushing. But then the lack of housing within the state, that is going to be a deep discussion, I'm sure, as well, of how can we fix this problem, but also how much is it going to cost and who's going to pay for it?
Well, there you go again, trying to figure it out before. And let me tell you, you're right. When we get into assault weapons, let's not hear the word assault gun. That is, or rifle. That is an Armalite. We all know this. But given the fact that obviously there's some people that are not responsible gun owners and use them irresponsibly, and that always should be legislated and protected. However, for those that are responsible and respect and follow a Second Amendment offered, you know, provided to each citizen, that's something that they're beginning to push the leading edge again on, and I view that is very much of concern, Kyle. In other words, we do have potential for, say, assault weapons, but that would include assault knives, assault hypodermic needles, assault vehicles. Ultimately, to place it on a particular, you know, a firearm, it seems to sensationalize and sell a lot of fear. And what I want to don't do is sell fear. I want to sell responsibility. And really what I want is a consequence, a higher consequence for people that misuse or use illegally firearms. To me, that is something that I'm always going to stand behind. And you know why we argue about these horrific headline stories of, say, firearm-involved shootings and whatnot? We have an obvious crisis of housing. Where are people going to be able to live? And affordably or not. And it affects everybody, all classes of people. It's inclusive, the housing shortage. And there's where the government has its own apology to our communities, because in my opinion, it's the government that has made affordable housing not affordable. Too much regulations, telling too much what to do, adding cost to the building, getting in the way of permitting. I think the legislature this year, Kyle, must attack. I hate to use that word, but we need to attack housing with common sense solutions. And a lot of them are going to say, get the government out of the way. Don't let appointed councils like the Building Codes Council tell you what to do without passing a law of the people, without the people's say. Like banning natural gas as a source of heat. These people weren't elected. They'll tell you it's banned, and there goes the cost in the upward area for your new house. We keep putting the reach and the cost out of reach to get a home.
We are going to have so many deep discussions. It is a long session. There are going to be some long discussions. Some of the, of course, the highlights that we've already kind of seen, and we've seen some of the pre-filed and some of the discussions pre-legislative session. But there are going to be so many, I would say, hot-button issues that are going to get a lot of attention. Let's hope that some of the items that also need attention, I mean, just like you say, the tow truck legislation and others that may not be as hot-button as some of these others, but hopefully this long session will give time for there to be consideration to all the bills or as many bills as possible. We can get the conversation going once again in person with the public, with the legislators face to face across the aisle, and we can have some sort of rational discussion and get some laws passed and some changes passed that benefit residents, not only just in Southwest Washington, but across the state.
Very well said. We've got a lot of work to do. I'm already geared up for it. I think the 19th is going to be loud and proud, and we can get through this session. And don't forget, emergency reform of gubernatorial powers is still on the radar. I just signed on to that bill as well.
19th District Senator Jeff Wilson, we thank you again for joining us. Always a pleasure. We look forward to talking to you through the legislative session as well, to give updates and give your briefing from Olympia to the residents in the 19th. But we thank you again for joining us, and happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you as well.